Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
We are back for episode 10 of Inside the Monster presented by Odyssey. I am Steve Perrault. That is Joey Capone. And this is not fun.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You having fun over there, Joey?
Yeah, I mean,
this sucks.
Hey, it was like you kind of got to watch two games today. You know, the rain delay was long enough where it kind of felt like two games.
It was like second drink, like Pam in The Office. You know, it's like the ice melting and you get second drink. That's what it was. The rain came, it went away. Everyone, by the way, on Twitter, like all the reporters and everybody was like so convinced the game wasn't coming back. Mm. Look at a forecast one time. They were going to finish the game the whole time. There was no time that like that game was actually going to be called. They're like, oh, think it's over. It's like, no, it's not over. And it's just going to get worse. We're going to have Phillips Valdez come in and get destroyed.
Yeah, that really was tough.
Don't even get me going on that. I'm going to get going on it.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into rain delay talk. That's
what are you saying about TC?
TC got into rain delay mode so quick. It had been delayed for 15 minutes, and he was as loose as a goose. He was talking like it had been like a three-hour delay. You know that, like... There was a couple of moments like he was talking so casually and had dropped the kind of, you know, broadcaster bravado that broadcasters have, where I was like, dude, does he know the mic's hot? Like, is he just having a conversation with Jim Rice right now? Does he know that they're live?
Those are interesting situations. One thing I don't miss doing during my Nesson days was working rain delays, Red Sox rain delays. Those were brutal because everyone's kind of running around. You're basically doing a show that no one planned to do. And you have to just kind of do it on the fly and have highlights ready and, you know, try to run, you know, throw it to Jemai whenever you can, even though he doesn't have anything new that hasn't already been said, because his job is obviously pregame stuff. You got your in-game hits. It's not like he plans for rain delay hits.
Yeah, so still wet down here, guys. Rain is still coming down.
Tarp on the field. He actually, Jemai had one. He had a moment, and I don't even blame him at all for this. They had a moment where they came back from break, and he was just like, Jemai Webster here at Camden Yards. They're in a rain delay.
back to you guys.
Like, he just kind of stopped. It was just like, that, you know, here's a TC talking to Theo Epstein.
Yeah. Got nothing for you guys.
I don't blame him, man. I mean, the rain delays suck, dude. Like, it's, you can
and
only do so much.
And you're in a rain delay, losing to the Orioles. It's not even like you can say, like, hey, look, let's get back and wrap this thing up and, you know, the Sox complete a sweep and head on back home after a long road trip. No, you're about to lose a series to the Orioles. You know it's coming. You know, it's like the gun is loaded at your forehead and we're just going to chill for a little bit. Just sit on it. Just think for a little bit longer before we put you down.
Yeah, that was tough, man. But I mean, let's just jump right into Phillips Valdez here. We come out of the rain delay, already in a bad mood because the Celtics got waxed by the Bucks. That game wasn't really close. Anyone that thinks that was close for any period of time really wasn't. They got outplayed whole time, sucked. And so then you flip over and you're in a rain delay, which is just kind of what you feel like anyway, coming off of that game. Mm-hmm. And they're down 4-1. Pivetta, not bad, not great overall. I think his control was better. No walks, 5 Ks, ends up with 3 earned over 4 1/3, which for him, honestly, the way this season's gone, I'll take that. I think he's making strides in the right direction and, you know, will serve as a very important piece of this team as the season goes on, as we get closer to summer. But I'm telling you, man, when Phillips Valdez is bad, he is bad. Like, he does everything. He checks all the boxes of exactly what you don't want to do as a reliever. He's walking guys, can't find the strike zone, plunking guys, balking, giving up hard contact. Like, that's all the stuff you don't want to do when you're coming in and you're trying to just hold the game at 4-1. Like, keep it within reach immediately. Immediately out of the rain delay, 6 runs in the 6th for the Baltimore Orioles, and it just got out of hand really quick. It was 9-1, and obviously JD throws in a grand slam in the 9th inning just to stay in shape. But dude, that was hard to watch. When an MLB pitcher can't find the zone, and he's not an MLB pitcher right now because he's sent back to Worcester.
Yeah.
When you can't find the zone, it's just what a helpless feeling, as I'm sure as the pitcher. But when we're watching, it's like, dude, throw it's a strike. So what are we doing?
Yeah. It's like the old, like, shoot the ball thing in basketball where, like, you're just sitting in the stands or on your couch or whatever, and you're saying the most obvious thing in the world, you know? Like, take the shot. Just do it. But it's the same thing. It's like, dude, throw a strike. Would you please?
It's
so frustrating. But it's even more frustrating because Valdez was awesome to start the year. He had, like, it was him and Robles that had, you know, the longest scoreless streaks. On the year, anyway. I think Robles' was actually longer because it extended into last year, but Valdez still started the year. I think it was like 8 full innings scoreless with like 3 hits. He started really hot, so it's unsurprising after that outing that he would get sent down, but it is a little shocking because it basically took like 1.5 bad appearances to get sent down. And it feels like there's a longer leash right now, you know?
A lot of it's a numbers game. You have to, you know, cut it down. So you're going to have to send guys down. They only have so many spots at this point. So with Valdez, his first 6 appearances of the season, 0 ERA, gave up no earned runs, no runs at all, 2 hits and 8 innings with 10 strikeouts. Like, he was the thing, though, with Phillips is that I can't remember a Red Sox reliever where I don't remember any of his good appearances. I only see him as a guy that comes in and gives up like 5 runs and the game's immediately over. And he had a handful of those. I know doing the show with Bradford last year, you know, where we'd be like waiting to do the Red Sox postgame show on EEI, and Valdez would just be taking forever. It was in Baltimore. It would be at Fenway. It's like they would just be getting rocked. And those are the outings that you remember. So maybe that's part of it. But I genuinely don't think of him and think good times, even though he's had really good stretches. He has had really good stretches where that changeup's working and he's making guys look silly. But again, when Valdez is bad, it's about as bad as it gets.
That's such a bummer for him.
And today was a great example.
That's such a bummer for him because he does have great outings. They just, for whatever reason, just feel like, yeah, sure, of course you should have struck out the side there. I don't know what that is.
I think a big part of it too is that they're not in high leverage situations.
Yeah,
so they're kind of like Sox, you know, they're almost throwaway. What's up?
Poop innings. You called them poop innings.
Yeah.
Last show.
Yeah. So his poop inning ERA is actually still at 0.
Wow.
In terms, yeah. So he still has a 0 poop inning ERA.
PIERA.
His PIERA is 0, which is impressive.
EIO.
Yeah, E-R-A-I-O. But yeah, that's where we're at, dude. It is just, this is brutal. This is so brutal. We got a new show, Joey. We're 10 episodes in. The feedback's been great. People love it. The socks have been great. Everything that we're doing, everything in our control, I think has been awesome. I'm a homer because it's our show. But like, give us something.
Would you please?
We can't be losing series to the Orioles, dude. Like, what is going on?
We did both have – our predictions came true.
Yes.
You said there was going to be a near-perfect game.
I said no-hitter through five.
And that happened. And I said they were going to win at least one game. And they both came true. So if the best Red Sox show out there, Inside the Monster, with Steve Peral and Joey Capone, tune in. There were some – there were some positives to take away.
JD was good today. JD was very good today.
And by JD, do you mean Jalen Davis?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. He had some good swings. Jalen Davis looks like such a just creative player. Like, dude, he looks like the guy in the video game that's just filling in for the guy that doesn't give you the rights to his name.
He's, first of all, he's 24. He looks 38. He looks like
he looks like he's 45. Yeah. And that guy looks like he's got 8 kids and he's lived a long life. Yeah.
And his waist is so high, dude. It's almost like he yanked his pants up. He has a look to him. I did not expect. And it was his major league debut. I was like, how? Just nothing about this guy. I've heard nothing. And then,
I know.
And then, I mean, got a knock. Got two, right? Didn't he go 2 for 3?
Yeah, I think he had two hits. See, Davis, 2 for 4. He's hitting .500. The guy gets sent down to Worcester. That's brutal, huh?
What more do you want from me? Brock Holt syndrome, you know?
I know. My goodness. But he reminds me. I know, Joey, we were probably a month ago at this point. I think you and I were just watching Ken Griffey Jr. Slugfest and the N64 game. We were just like watching it on YouTube.
Yeah, we shared a screen and we're just watching clips of Ken Griffey on N64.
And I swear this guy looks like he was in that video game. Like he looks like he's from a different. He looks like he's like from the 90s.
Am I a doofus? It like, did you know about him before today?
I knew nothing. No, I didn't know at all.
Did he come up through the system? Like,
I'm watching the game on which game was it? Was it Saturday? Mm-hmm. And was that Banners with Elaine? Mm-hmm. And watching on the big screen there, and I honestly just went, wait, who the hell is that guy in left? Who is that guy? For you to like sneak a guy by us, that's like impressive. Like on the Sox, there's a guy that I just have no clue about, and they did it.
I don't know how. Okay, so he was drafted by the Twins in 15 in the 24th round. He's had 63 major league at bats, mostly with the Giants. All with the Giants. And that's it. I don't know how he got here.
Hey, he's played for one of my favorite teams ever. One of my favorite logos of a team.
The Boston Red Sox?
The Fort Myers Miracle.
Oh.
I'm looking at images here of Jalen Davis on the old Google machine. Fort Myers Miracle. Jalen Davis. Pretty good.
Get him back up here, man. I had a great time watching him. You know what I didn't have a great time watching was Vasquez trying to run on JD's hit, though. Like,
I
can't actually call him JD. On Jalen
no,
Davis.
No, please. Yeah, I was just about to correct you. I'm like, technically you're right, but no, allowing that. We can't do that. And, you know, Vasquez, to his credit, he takes full blame afterwards. Second inning, 2 outs. Mm-hmm. And Jim Rice had made a solid point in the post game. Like, when you came up, there were 2 outs. So, like, there's no scenario. It's not like some weird thing happened when he was on the bases that made it 2 outs. Like, there were 2 outs the whole time. Yeah. From your AB to you going to second to then Jalen making contact and hitting it up the middle. And it's just that kind of stuff. I feel like it happens more when things are going bad like this. And you notice it more. Like, let's say the Sox win, whatever, 7-2 today. That's such a non-thing.
Right,
it just doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't even exist, yeah.
Yeah, but your team is 1-5-1 in 7 series this year. That stuff is now a big deal. You can't be forgetting how many outs there are. There's no scenario where that can happen. Christian Vasquez has been here forever. Dude was drafted in like 2014, or maybe even earlier than that. He's been in this organization for a long time. There's no reason, and he said it in the post game. He owned up to it. It's not a huge deal, but it just can't happen. That's one of those where it's like, I know that you don't normally do this, but I can't just give it to you because that should be a run, and it has to be a run. And
right.
The Red Sox have been so good at getting one run by the sixth inning every night, that would have been their one run, and you just can't miss that.
Well, the fun thing is, at the end of the day, to look back and say, hey, even if that run comes in, we still let the Orioles put up nine. You know? We still gave
it's
up nine
Valdez,
runs.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm so upset at Valdez after
there
that
was no, just, there was a lot of moments. I mean, what, did they leave 38 guys on base today, dude? Like, there
I think
was,
that was the exact number, yeah.
I think it was 38 or 39. There was a moment when it was like the third inning in a row where there were at least two men on with two out. You know what I'm talking about? And
yeah.
it was Jackie's at bat with the bases loaded. First,
yeah. Wait, I mean, let's be honest. What do you think was going to happen there,
dude? I tweeted like right before the AB. I was like, runners on with two out. Like, what's going to happen here? And
I'm talking Jackie up with the bases loaded. Yeah. That has ground out written all over it.
Right, 100%. But
or striker
first
or K. Yeah.
The fact that it's a first pitch dribbler to the first baseman just made it so just infuriating. It made me. Like, I laughed out of, like, frustration. Oh, that's low and away. First pitch. We're going to do that. It's a spiral, man. Like, when things start going bad, they just feels like the dominoes fall right into place of, like, what's the worst case scenario that could happen right now? You know, it just.
Yeah. I think the thing that's probably bugging me the most is that the Red Sox are last in Major League Baseball at swinging at balls out of the strike zone. They swing at more balls out of the strike zone than any of the teams in the entire major leagues.
Yeah.
And that just can't happen. And honestly, a big part of that is Schwarber being gone. His plate discipline was elite. He knows the strike zone better than I think any player I've ever seen on the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And that can wear off in a good way on other players where it's like, all right, he's kind of setting the tone for plate discipline. Let's watch some pitches. Let's get deeper in at-bats. And other, you know, Arroyo, Cora, these guys have alluded to it. They got to see more pitches. And it's not the end of the world if the first pitch you see is not yours and it's a strike. It's not the end of the world to start 0-1 or 1-1. Like, see some pitches. Mm-hmm. Get these guys' pitch counts up there. Start to cause some potential for mistakes by the pitcher. And it's just not happening enough. And, you know, all these situations, it seems like, runners on first and second, first and third, bases loaded. I have no faith that they're going to drive these runs in. And a lot of times it happens that these, you know, the runners in scoring position isn't when your big boppers are up. It's like, up, here comes Bob or, you know, Vasquez or Jackie. A lot of times it's Devers and Xander and JD that are getting on and being stranded. So ideally the bottom of the lineup will pick it up. But, you know, as things are going right now, I mean, you look at some of the averages in the Red Sox lineup. Trevor Story's hitting .217.
Yeah.
Which is just, that can't be happening. Franchi's actually, I mean, I know I'm the biggest Franchi hater, but he's been fine, you know, since he came. He's making a lot of contact. He's hitting .143, but made a good amount of contact this series. Had a ball that I thought was going like 80 rows deep, but died per all these baseballs.
Well, they changed the dimensions of Camden Yards.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that. But ends up getting a sac fly. The thing with Franchi that killed me is, like, he had one of the worst drops by a first baseman I think I've seen in my life. That Raffy play throws it right to him, and he just drops it. Like, that was Little League stuff. You cannot. That honestly, looking at that, I'm like, oh, okay, that's what happens in, like, single A. Like, when you go to the single A games, the guy drops it at first. That can't be happening at the big league. So that was pretty pathetic.
No. Okay, I want to go back to something you said. I just didn't want to pipe in all too much there. But talking about chase rate. Stuff with the Sox, you know, swinging at balls and whatnot. I don't have the numbers for this. I doubt you do too, but it's hard not to imagine that Raffy and maybe Xander are among the top guys who do that, and they're both hitting. I mean, I don't know if they're both 300 plus. I think.
Well, Devers is 299 and Xander's 369.
So, I mean, I'd like to see like those numbers isolated without them too. Because for whatever reason, Devers is, you know, picking up golf balls and taking them deep. And it always feels every single Xander at-bat of his entire career has started 0-2.
He loves going 0-2.
He just loves it. I don't know. It's like you could just miss the first two pitches. It's like, oh, he'll go 0-2 and then I'll tune in.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, it seems to work for them. Somehow it seems to work for them.
But I mean, that's the thing. It's... you look around at other teams in the majors, and I'm not talking the Blue Jays, I'm not talking the Yankees, I'm not talking the way the Mets are going right now. Looking at the teams that need those two stars to advertise on the banners and on the tickets and on the website. And right now, the Red Sox are that team. Right now, the Red Sox are the, we got Xander, we got Devers, we got JD. That's it. No one else is performing in the lineup. And, I mean, I think Verdugo's gotten screwed. I honestly, for the dead balls are just killing him. Because, like, I feel like in a normal situation, he's already got, like, five homers. But outside of that, it's just no production at all. And we got a DM about Kike hitting a bunch of foul ball homers. They're foul balls, all right? Yeah. Like, I know we keep mentioning, oh, if he straightens them out, but they're foul. Like, I can't be getting all riled up about a ball that's like way foul and quote unquote would have been gone. Like it's not.
That says a lot more ball. Than like he just needs to straighten out. Like it says it's a product of his timing and his eye and it's a whole mess of things.
But it's more than just if he straightens it out.
Dude, you know what pissed me off today?
Yeah.
The broadcast started talking about bringing up Tristan Casas while showing Franchi and Bob and talking about Shaw, and it was like, what? Like, I understand things are slow right now. I understand first base is a little thin, but to be acting like, oh, that's the problem. Once we get that guy here, it's over. Everything's okay. It's like,
well, I think they alluded to that, and OB said it. He's like, that's not necessarily going to solve the issue. Like, who's to say that Casas doesn't come up and hit 200 just like Bob or
like,
worse.
Yeah, you want a guy to make his major league debut? That'll fix the team. Are you kidding me? And you want to put that on his shoulders? You want that guy to come up and just have that
on
his
shoulders? Well, I don't think they talked about it in that regard. I don't think they talked about it like that, did they?
It felt like they were saying, like, it just felt like they were like, hey, man, maybe it's time to get him up here.
It's yeah.
Like, do we need to be doing this? Do we need to be playing the, like, once Bob's out of here game? Like, I don't need that. Please.
No, I know.
Spare me.
I hear you. It's hard for me to be against, you know, the discussion when the Red Sox have easily the worst first base production offensively in all of baseball.
Right.
Like, if you have that and you have a top 20 MLB prospect that plays first base that's hitting bombs in AAA, I think it's an easy equation that discussion's going to come up. I understand his average is low, but, I mean, Casas is a guy that, you know, has good plate discipline, which this team doesn't have. He has pop, which this team has not shown. So I get it from that standpoint, but no, I think he's – I trust Spear with this stuff, and he was saying don't expect Casas until, like, late July or late June, early July. I'm like, all right, we'll slow down on the Casas train here.
Yeah, and like you're saying, he's got a lot of pop. He's a guy with power, a guy who doesn't hit for average. He hits bombs. And
yeah,
the balls right now, Steve, I don't know if you've heard this. The balls right now, not really. We've got stinky balls, if you remember from last week. They are not exactly conducive to home runs right now. So bringing him up and letting him fly out for the first 3 weeks of his major league career, I just don't think is going to do much for his confidence. And maybe we'll have real balls by the time that comes around. But I just didn't like the air in which it was being talked about. It just kind of felt like, oh, like that'll turn things around. It's like, dude, you have Kike Hernandez and Trevor Story and a few other guys who are just straight up underperforming. Not like it's Bob's young, man. Franchi is a minor leaguer who's seen some major league time.
Bob's young-ish.
He's youngish. He's 24, 25.
I think he's 27.
I think he might be. No way is he 27. I think he's 26, actually. I think we're the same.
Bobby Dalbec's 26. He's turning 27 in June. I don't know. He's
baseball young.
Ish. I mean, yeah, it's we're not, Bobby Dalbec guys. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. We want Bob to do well, but if I'm Bobby, I'm sweating it out right now. You know, you just called Franchi Cordero up, who's like the all-time 4A player that's now taking your spot and starting games in Baltimore over you. Like that's a wake-up call. I don't know how much more pressure he could feel than that. Plus, all the people talking about how Casas should be coming up. Like that's pressure you got to deal with, and he's got to perform. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's been tough to watch. A lot of swings and misses. The whiff rate is super high, and it's just a lot of big ABs find him too. there's a lot of times you got the rispies out there, the runners in scoring, but you got he's got a lot of rispy situations, and they end up in the head down and strike three, and you know the Orioles move on to the next thing. So
we've talked. Everyone's rooting for him.
We love Bob. It's the pro Bob show, but you know we need something. Just real quick recap of the first couple games here. Red Sox obviously win game one, even though that was a grind and a half. They score three runs in the second inning, and that is it, which this team loves doing. They love scoring all their runs in the game and one inning, typically early and typically a low amount of runs. And that happened again in game one. Tanner Houck comes in. I thought Rich Hill got pulled a little early. I understand that it was funny seeing Cora after the game saying, like, I haven't had someone look at me like that in a long time. Mm-hmm. That was kind of challenging him for staying in. I mean, Rich Hill's been there, done that. He's 42. So if anything, you know, I feel like he is Cora's age. Like, I feel like they're the same age. So it's I get it from that standpoint of, like, come on, man. I had a no-hitter going. And the second I give up a dinky single, you're going to pull me. So I didn't love that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't understand why going back to that game in Tampa, the Sunday game, I don't know why Rich Hill didn't – or Tanner Houck didn't come in after Rich Hill in that game. That didn't make any sense to me. It was – to have him piggyback in Baltimore, I think, did make sense. But then not to do it when he was going to have those Toronto games off was a little weird. I mean, it's in the past. But still, that didn't make much sense to me. Houck comes in. He three innings pitched, two hits, no runs, four Ks. How many walks did he have? He walked a good handful of dudes. He walked three guys in three innings. Tanner's got to figure out the walk situation. His control is a little bit nuts. And a lot of times he's walking guys low in the lineup too. It's not like these are the big boppers, all those big boppers that the Orioles have.
Yeah.
So that was tough. I mean, Rich Hill was throwing a lot of strikes. Tanner gets out of tough situations, as he always does. He puts himself in tough situations, normally gets out of them. At that point in the last nine games, Joey, Red Sox starters had a 1.90 ERA and an opponent batting average of 184. It's not the starters. Starters are doing their job. And this is a rotation that doesn't have Chris Sale or really much depth at all, and they haven't been to blame.
No, not at all. I hate the talk about pitching, even the talk about the bullpen. Man, I understand there's bad optics, you know, when the bullpen is coming in, i.e. today, coming in and giving up, six runs in an inning or what have you. But you can't be upset with the pitching at all, in my mind, when you're averaging, 1.4 runs a game across the season so far?
Yeah, it's bad. You got to factor in the stress on these bullpen innings. These are all, like, you're either up one, down two. Like, these are all tight. It's not like you're having guys come in with a little cushion. Like, they all have to pitch in situations where the second a guy gets on, it's like, you know, a little nervous here. Mm-hmm. Now all the pitches matter a little more, so that's a huge factor, too. Pitching-wise, I'm not really – yeah, I can't be dishing out a bunch of blame when the offense just straight-up stinks. It's embarrassing that they're playing at this level right now. I don't want to keep – I am so ready to be done with, like, oh, the Sox bats are going to heat up. Like, at what point is this going to happen? Like, it's May now. They're coming back home. It's finally going to warm up a little bit. But, like, banking on the weather warming up seems like a cheap out. Like, it's – no. The offense is stunk. You got to pick it up. Joey, real quick, I do want to say, with that game one, Joey had a tweet that I forget what it said word for word. But you – we're very upset in this series about the amount of times the dimensions of the left field ball.
Oh, my God, dude. Jesus. Give it a rest.
But I guess my only bone to pick, Joey, is that I think you tweeted about it like 5 minutes into the game. Like, this is the first game the Red Sox have played at Baltimore with the new wall dimensions. You're like, enough already.
No, it was how long they talked about it. Because, like, it was that they talked about it. They showed it. They went down to Jemai about it. They came back up, talked about it, showed a graphic. And then
the graphic was pretty cool with the green and stuff. It was nice.
I've seen the graphic, okay? They moved the fence in the offseason.
Pretty good.
I've seen it. It was like cool. It was just like a minute too long. I think it was like 7 minutes. And I was like, all right, fellas, we get it. And then, like, the first inning – a ball made its way over there, and like, it's a home run in the old Camden Yards. Yeah, they moved the wall back and changed the dimension. Also raised it up about five. 5.5 feet.
It's only so many things to talk about at Camden Yards. I think Camden's great, but I'm saying in a Sox Orioles series, you're telling me I'm broadcasting that game and I can talk about different wall dimensions this year? I'm talking about it.
Bro, just talk about, bringing that up. Talk about the weather, dude. I don't care. I mean, talk about anything. Get Tony Maz an inhaler, please, so he can catch his breath, and then just talk about the weather outside or something.
Like, there's so many people that don't like Tony Maz. There's a long... Tony Maz is a great baseball mind. I will say that.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. It's just, he's, you know, you can't solidify yourself as a villain. You know, Darth Vader can't have a talk show. You know, if
Darth Vader calling these games would be nuts. You had OB and Vader. That'd be crazy.
I think James Earl Jones has since passed. But am I wrong? I'm wrong.
I think he's alive.
I think he's like 98 years old.
I don't think he's dead. He's 91. Yeah, big time alive.
Wow. Now getting the nines.
This guy was born around the Great Depression.
Jeez Louise. I mean, like, you can't be the leader of the evil empire and then be like, it's, you know, the late show with Darth Vader. And that's what it feels like. It feels like he's solidified himself as a villain and then is showing up here and he's like, I'm on the broadcast now. I'm going to talk about,
I think he acknowledged it well on their show there on 98.5 when they initially announced it. I think he was like, I mean, this is a little nuts, you know, but to let me do this. I've been dunking on this team for 20 years. Like, I think he gets how crazy it is that he's actually calling the games, but I don't mind Tony Maz. He knows ball. Like, he gets the game, so it is what it is. One thing, Joey, that kind of killed me, and I knew this was going to happen. There's a lot of people on Twitter that are just so predictable and just your typical reply people. And I like replying. I mean, I love replying to stats. Every game, I love replying to stats. If BR tweets out some stupid stuff, now that I don't work there anymore, I can just reply, this is dumb. I like replying. It's good. Mm-hmm. But I tweeted out something to the degree of, like, JBJ gives me slight Andrew Jones vibes with how he fields in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And his approach and his just calm demeanor, like, oh, this is easy, I got this.
Hey, did anybody sure enough, in your replies talk about batting average?
It only takes one dink to be like, I get that you said slight, but Andrew Jones is like the greatest fielder in the history of Earth. So what a you literally just called yourself out in the beginning of the reply. I get that I said slight. What if you can't say someone gives you like 2% vibes of a legend, then just get out of my face is what I'm trying to say, Joey. Yeah. Like, it's not, I said slight intentionally so it wouldn't get that reply. And sure enough, some dinkus with, you know, the human icon as the profile picture and like two followers is like, Andrew Jones is shut the hell up.
Yeah. It's
gripe of the week. There it is.
It's reminiscent of the NFL draft, where they'll have, you know, comparables. You know, you draft a guy in the third round, and they're like, he's just like Tyreek Hill. And it's like, I don't know if he is.
Tom Brady.
I don't know if he is, though, you know? I don't know if this fifth round edge rusher is J.J. Watt. I know what you're saying, dude. But it's nice. Red Sox Twitter, for the most part, I'll say this, because I have a more niche following than you, Steve. I have a smaller following. It feels like 99% of the time, I'm seeing the people are in on the joke, you know?
Like, mostly, yes.
Yeah.
Mostly, yes.
I appreciate that quite a bit. Like, when I was tweeting about the dimensions, people were like, oh, did they? Did they move it? Because I was ready for people to just chime in and be like, how did you not know that? Or whatever, you know? Just like not being in on the bit. I think it's a game of numbers, man. You start to throw out tweets to 45,000 people, you're going to run into some dinky-doos who are like, hey, bozo.
No, I know. I think it's the thing that kills me with some of the replies are like people that follow me. Like if you have followed my Twitter for a week, you understand it's pretty light. Like I'm not, it's nothing crazy. It's mostly sarcasm and I'm not like, and then if I'm talking about the team, it's like you and I, Joey. We're just talking about the team. We're just chatting it up. It's not that serious. The fact that you would take JBJ has slight Andrew Jones vibes in the outfield is like, blah, 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 as the reply. Just
what was it?
Get out of my face. Blah, 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 blah.
That's what I thought you said.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Game two, Red Sox fall 2-1. That was extremely frustrating.
Do you want to not Nathan talk about Evaldi, this one?
I'm going to go faster this one. Nathan Evaldi was incredible. Love Nate. Bring him back. We're going to get that going. Bring Nate Evaldi back campaign. Dude, he's got ace capabilities. He's got ace qualities. If it walks like an ace, talks like an ace, it's an ace. Nathan Evaldi is the ace of this team, and the Sox just couldn't get anything going at all. First inning run, that was it. How terrible against the Orioles, man. So
deja vu,
Sawamura,
man.
Sawamura, what are we doing? What was that? Throwing the ball into left field, that was like – pitchers and throwing the ball to bases is just always awkward.
It
makes
never
no sense. Smooth. It's like you throw for a living. I understand the speed thing, but like, is it that hard to lob a ball to a base? What are we doing?
Like, does Jeff Gordon get home from NASCAR and like he's unable to drive to the grocery store? You know,
the guy's going 150 yeah. miles an hour down the street.
Yeah, he's like sitting at a red light, just like sweating. Like, oh god,
how do I not floor this when this yeah. thing goes through?
Oh my god, oh my god, yeah. like, dude, just toss it. Just toss it. You know,
he had all the time in the world, and then you get a double play there. I mean, let's again. The theme of this show is that the offense stinks and it needs to pick it up. So again, I don't want to get all upset
right.
at the pitchers here.
And Sawamura's in a save situation, or a you know, I don't know, is that
a hold, whatever, a whatever, hold, a force yeah. more extra situation, yeah. FME situation. But it was just if you get that out, then a grounder, double play, or onto the 11th. But Red Sox are 0-4 in extra inning situations. Big part of that, Joey, is they don't score with the guy on second. Happened in Yankee Stadium. Happened mm-hmm. in not in Tampa. They actually did score because Bob got the first hit of the game.
Right.
But happens here in Baltimore. And it's just brutal. I mean, I know it's easy to say, oh, well, if they I think I do this too, so I'm a mega hypocrite with what I'm about to say. But if they just won all those games, then you know, team would be what 13-11. It's or 13-10. It's like, yeah, but they
yeah.
lost all the games.
But the thing is, you're not wrong because that's what you're basically saying is like, if this team hit an average amount, you know, then driving in a man on second wouldn't be an impossible task, and that yeah. and these games that go to extras wouldn't just be over the second that they start or that they get.
One
the
thing I saw, Joey. From at MLB Random Stats,
uh-huh.
the Red Sox became the first team to get walked off on by every other team in their division in a single month since the Cubs in May of 2012. You know what happened in May of 2012?
Huh. Let me think of what was going on in May of 2012. Is there? Do you have like a list of things or you just got one thing?
That's when I graduated college. It's been a long time. So basically my whole adult life.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
My whole adult life, this has not happened until now, that a team got walked off on in the same month by every team in their division. It feels like it. I kind of like that happened because it feels like that. Like I like when the stats like back up how you feel. And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, it feels like all these games are super tight and a lot of mm-hmm. them are super obnoxious and the results super suck. And that's exactly what's going on. And we really talked about game three, but one thing that Red Sox stats, I love when stats just like tweets out an image or a video with no caption. I know exactly what he's doing. It's very mm-hmm. much like a, you know, I don't need to say anything here. Mm-hmm. And there was one, this doesn't necessarily fall into that category, but there was one that he tweeted out today where it was, Garrett Whitlock had eye black on. I don't know why it was.
yeah, that was great.
I don't know why it was so funny to me, but I'm like, dude, like what if. What if Whitlock just becomes our Ohtani and we just have him in the lineup? You can't tell me it would get worse than the bottom of this lineup. Garrett Whitlock, plop him right there in that like eight spot
mm-hmm.
and just see what happens. He had a rope in Atlanta last year. The guy is like the greatest baseball player ever. He has the lowest ERA ever. Like, you're telling me he can't slap together some hits, Joey?
Yeah, I mean, Shohei can do it, you know? He can throw the
and
ball.
Shohei
and
looks like
he do it.
Flicking the
they have identical
around.
Bodies. Garrett Whitlock yep. and Shohei Ohtani, identical backgrounds and upbringings and training throughout their life.
100%.
Why not?
And Whitlock is way better at pitching than Shohei.
And Whitlock has
so
that
I
one
bet he's
hit.
Better at hitting.
So
exactly,
make it happen, Alex. Yeah.
So AC, this is our our call out to you. This is our plead. Put Garrett Whitlock in this Red Sox lineup, and great things will happen. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm for it. I'm down for whatever, man. I mean, my my notes here. The only other things I have are the grass was really green there in Baltimore, and Kevin Plawecki pitched a little bit.
That was funny. Beyond dude, that, I love that he was holding. I love that he was holding his hand out so the ump could check for sticky stuff after he had a scoreless inning. Plawecki's awesome. We got to get him on here. Weckdog's a cool dude, and hopefully we have him on soon.
Yeah, I mean those are the most positive takeaways we can possibly take away. That was fun watching Plow pitch. Goodness gracious, that grass was green.
Yeah, a couple other things here before we move ahead, move on, look forward towards two of the greatest players ever coming to Fenway. Derek Holland opted out of his minor league deal with the Red Sox after having a 6.35 ERA with the Woo Sox. Thank God. He took number 22 from Garrett Whitlock when he came here. That's all I got to say about that.
Are you going to?
My goodness.
You're going to get into a Twitter feud with him again before this year is
I
up.
Just
I
don't. Derek Holland's a goofy dude.
I didn't like his reply. I like that we can say this now. I didn't like the energy that he came with. He's like, yo, I didn't even like know that. It's like, okay. Well, now you do. No.
Yeah, now you know it. Maybe don't take the number of the best pitcher on the team.
Like, when you're going to get optioned May 1st. Like, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's one thing if Clayton Kershaw's coming to Boston, or, like, there's a guy that's really been there, done that, and really had, like, a great career.
Mm.
Derek Holland.
Come on.
Like, I feel like Pedro talked about Kareem Garcia. Like, who are you, Derek Holland, to come in here? And take Garrett Whitlock's number. Whitlock should change like right now to 22.
Mm-hmm.
Like he should switch. I know he's been great this year, so you don't want to mess with anything. But
right. I was gonna say maybe
it would be funny if he just didn't tell anybody and just came out his next start with 22 on. That would actually be pretty funny.
You know, what'd be really cool is he comes out with the 72, and he goes to start his first pitch, and he takes the balk, just so he can throw down the ball, throw down his glove, rip the jersey at the buttons, 22 underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
yep.
I think that's all.
That would be cool.
I think that's all, man. That would be cool. I'd be down for that. Red Sox dropped 2 out of 3. This is a common theme, by the way. I know we looked at it before we went live here, but Red Sox have won the first game of 3 of the last 4 series. They have lost the last 2 games of those 3 of last 4 series. And Joey, we are 0-5. The Red Sox are 0-5 in our last 5 recording days. And it's tough, man. It just brings tough energy. I think you and I are naturally positive individuals with this team, but it's not easy when you lose to the Orioles. And when we went into this series being like, okay, if the bats don't get going here, then it's a problem. And JD's grand slam aside, because the game was over, you basically scored 3 runs in game 1, 1 run in game 2, and 1 run in game 3, basically. Yeah. You basically scored 5 total runs in a series against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. So this was going to be my closing thought, but it's way too relevant now to not say it. This right now is the turning point one way or the other. This is the fork in the road. You just lost a series to the Baltimore Orioles. You are now, I think you have the same record as the Baltimore Orioles. You might be 1 game above them. This was
they're like a half game ahead of the O's. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this obviously, I know it's May 1st. I hate the standings talk of like, oh, you're talking about the standings in May 1st. Well, yes. Yeah. I'm talking about how many games they've won and how many games they've lost. It's a pretty good indicator of how good the team is.
That's the point of playing the games.
Yeah. It's a great way to tell if they're good or bad if they win or have lost the games that they have played.
Yeah.
Anyway, this division was supposed to be a battle among 4 teams. You are off to a start that is making it look like it's a battle among 3 teams. You, like, this is not just a slow start anymore. It's a full month in. You're into May. And now it's just playing bad. It's not a bad start. They got to pick it. It's now you're just playing bad from here on out if it continues to happen. You know what I mean? If you come out and you lose another 2-3 series, it's tough to, like, not be making the comparisons to 2019 when everybody had these high expectations and you come out and they're not looking great. I know we've got a couple DMs that are referencing 2019. You told me today.
Yeah, we'll sit on the fact you're about to say. We'll sit
okay, we'll sit on
just
it.
Just to save it for the DM. Yeah. Just save it for the DM.
But what I'm saying is, this is the moment you got to decide if you're going to be in that conversation, if you're going to be there, if you're going to be, you know, a team that's in the conversation, or if you want to just, you know, continue this for another 5 months, which I would say not the option to take.
The Red Sox in 5 series against AL East teams are 0-5. Woo! In those series. They are hitting .216 in 16 games against the AL East. It's all bad, man. I mean, there's no getting around it. Like, this has been a miserable start. They know it, but it's time to go. Like, this is it was time to go by like the Rays series, and now, you know, we're looking at the Angels here at Fenway. Hey, at least the road. The road switch. Why did I just call it the road switch?
I don't know.
What were you
trying to say? Road trip?
Yeah, and switch came out. I don't know what that was all about. At least the road switch is over.
At least they get to go and face Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, it sounds Mike good, Trout. Man. I think
cool.
I mean, the tough part in closing here before we preview the Sox Angels series, I think this is as bad as it's going to get this season for the Sox.
I feel that way too. For some reason, I do. I still believe that, and I don't want to, because I'm just setting myself up to get hurt. But I really do believe that things turn around. I don't know if it's instantly. It might be I don't know. Who knows? I still have hope, though. I genuinely do.
I do as well. Coming up next, Joey, we have our Red Sox Angels preview. That is after this break. Alrighty, we are back. Red Sox, Angels. Finally, the Sox are back at Fenway Park. Joey with the pitching matchups.
Okay. We've got a 3-game series back at Fenway Park, folks. Game one is going to be not Shohei Ohtani. It's going to be Noah Syndergaard versus Michael Wacha. Noah missed his last start against the White Sox due to illness, but he is in the top 10% of the league in expected slugging percentage, weighted on base average, and Steve's favorite, ex-Wobicon. Michael Wacha is a former NLCS great. He's rocking a 1.77 ERA and a .93 whip.
I still love that
whip.
DM. That DM was so good.
That was awesome.
Former NLCS great. I love
that. Yeah, we might have to make a t-shirt for that. Might have to. Game two. Check this matchup out, Steve. Garrett Whitlock versus Shohei Ohtani. Wow. What a
greatest
matchup.
Greatest pitcher ever versus some guy for the Angels.
Boom. Shohei is near
roasted.
The top. Gotcha, dude. Shohei is near the top of the league in strikeout percentage at 37.5%. That's very good. He throws a four-seamer, a slider, splitter, and a curve in that order. He also has a cutter, but he like never throws it. They are all very good. And fun fact, Shohei Ohtani is the widest person ever. Game three is a Cinco de Mayo celebration with none other than Rich Hill versus TBD.
When I think Cinco de Mayo, I think Rich Hill.
I could see Rich Hill getting really into Cinco de Mayo.
I could see him throwing down some tequila.
Yeah, a sombrero at the cookout. I can see it.
Yes.
After a very impressive one
Rich
hit,
Hill definitely makes the burger. He definitely is flipping the burgers.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
He has an apron. He definitely has an apron.
He's got an apron. He might even be smoking a cig. He kind of looks like he smokes cigs. Anyway, continue.
I'd love to. Oh, the smoke on the mound. That'd be so badass. All right. After a very impressive one-hit performance last week, Hill takes the bump at Fenway for the first time since Marathon Monday. He comes in with a 3.71 ERA and a 1.29 whip, which is eerily similar to his career numbers, which is a 3.8 ERA and a 1.22 whip. He is doing awesome this year, and it's also just how he has always been. He is Mr. Consistency. That's what they call him. They also call him Dick Mountain. And he is facing a TBD. I did not see who the projected pitcher in their rotation would be. I don't know the Angels' rotation off the top of my head. So
that'll do
That's your pitching matchup, Steve.
Hell yeah. Pitching matchups. Love it. Weather update for Red Sox Angels Tuesday. Tuesday night. Chance of showers, but probably won't impact the game. Looks like it's going to be mainly after 2 a.m., so unless the game goes to 3 a.m., I think they're good. Mostly cloudy, a low around 44 degrees, and a low percentage chance of rain. Wednesday night, you got yourself a 7:10 first pitch. Chance of showers before midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 48 degrees. First couple games are going to be pretty cool. I would definitely bring a jacket. 40% chance of rain. So watch out for rain on Wednesday. But Thursday, Joey, Cinco de Mayo, looking good. It's an afternoon game, 135, 0% chance of rain, and it's going to be a high near 65 degrees. Woo. Thursday is going to be a good old day at the ball yard. There's a chance I just go to all of these. Maybe not Thursday because of meetings and stuff, but like, might go to all of these. We'll see.
Yeah, I was debating it too. I wanted to go for the Shohei starts. I made plans to go Tuesday, but then I got pushed back to Wednesday. So now I might have to go to both of those. I don't know. I'll see you there, maybe.
I thought there was something
maybe
else we'll catch there. You're like, whatever.
And who cares? Who cares about what my plans are? That's my business. I'll sort it out,
guys. Don't worry
about it. Not your business.
Series predictions. I just kind of have a fun fact here. It's not really that fun at all. The Red Sox are 0-3 on Mondays, so thank goodness Monday's an off day.
Yay.
They're 2-1 on Tuesdays. All right, so that first game,
yay,
make it 3-1, right? Good vibes,
just
right?
Just win Tuesday, baby. Tuesday's a winning day.
We got a just win Tuesday coming up. I can't wait. A JWT.
A time to win Tuesday? Is that
just win Tuesday? I'm fine with that.
Just win
works.
Tuesday? There's the shirt.
Just win Tuesday. Hashtag just win Tuesday. I like that. So that's what's going on Tuesday. Just went Tuesday. My two predictions for this series: Xander Bogaerts is going to have one of those majestic homers where like he has the long follow through and watches it and does his little circle around and nice little trot of the bases. And I got the Red Sox starters having no losses in this series. No L's for Sox starters. What are your predictions, Joey?
I think the Garrett Whitlock, Shohei Ohtani Wednesday game, weather permitting, is going to be a classic. I think it's going to be a pitcher's duel. I think it's going to be they might both go the distance. I could see them like both going. I don't know if Whitlock actually. That's stupid. I'm making this up on the spot. I could see it both being really good performances there. I'm going to say a big hit from Arroyo. Or Bob.
I knew you were going to say Arroyo. It's always Arroyo.
It's Arroyo. Well, because I have the season-long prediction that he's going to have multiple walk-offs. I'm not saying a walk-off. Okay. What I'm saying is clutch moment from Arroyo or Bob. Mark it down.
Bob, okay.
Arroyo or Bob.
If Bob has a clutch moment at the plate in this series, I will get you a snack of your choice.
I hate that you're saying that because that's saying that it's improbable. I don't like that.
Hey, we'll see.
It's Bob.
We'll see, man.
It's Bob.
Big series coming up here. You bringing your camera?
Sure, if you want. You want to take some pics?
I think they'd be great shots, man. I mean, we're talking about. A lot of times I'll go to games in the moment and be like, I should document a lot of this because I'm gonna look back on this in 20 years and be like, we were at a game that had Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and Xander Bogaerts and all these guys. Like that's a big deal. So
yeah,
I think we document the hell out of it, get some good content for the ITM pages,
get
and all that
autographs.
Good stuff. And then just lose the denchilada. Coming up next, slide in the DM and our closing thoughts. We got some good DMs, Joey. People are a little worried in Red Sox Nation. That is next. Alrighty, folks. We are back. It is slide in the DM time. Still wait. We got to find a sponsor for this, for sliding the DM.
We'll figure it out. I got to do the.
Yeah, it's still my least favorite thing. I think we can easily find a slide noise that would be cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
And you're just not going to do it for some reason. This comes in from Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Multiple people said this, by the way. To get the Red Sox going again, Cora has to shave the beard. A lot of people want Cora to shave the beard. Your thoughts?
I don't know if I'm against it. I thought I would be, but I've been sitting on it now for about 7 seconds, and I don't hate it. I initially was like, you can't do that, but Maybe you do. Maybe you really need to change things up. You know?
Also, let's be honest. When it starts getting warmer out, you don't really want a beard. That's like a tough one. I know the 2013 Sox, that was their whole thing. But it was funny. It's funny to me, I got to say. It's funny to me when OB had pointed out, I think on the Friday broadcast, he was like, fun fact, actually, not a lot of people know this. On the inside of the 2013 rings, they had beards in there. Yeah. I think like most Red Sox fans knew that. I'm pretty sure. But for the ones that didn't, I guess they learned that on Friday. This comes in from Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Steve and Joey. Love the show. Since we're dealing with crappy Aprils, what's the best Sox seasons that started off really badly? Conversely, what seasons were truly over after April? Justin, I did a little bit of research. Did a little bit of research here. And Joey and Justin, here are the Red Sox records through 23 games, which is where they're at now. They're 9-14. Here are the Red Sox records through 23 games in their four World Series champion years of our lifetime. Mm-hmm. 2004, the Red Sox were 15-8 after 23.
That's good.
2007, Sox were 15-8 after 23. 2013, Sox were 16-7 after 23 games. 2018, this actually surprised me because I think they were actually coming off a losing streak here because they were so, so hot. They were 18-5 in 2018 after 23 games. And in 2021 last year, obviously they don't win at all, but successful season in the end, all things considered. They were 14-9, the exact opposite of this last season. For some of the bad years, not necessarily all bad years, but these are ones that I did that were the year after they won the World Series, Joey. 2005, the Sox started 12-11. 2014, which a lot of people are drawing comps to the 2014 season with this team, 10-13, so very similar record. Mm-hmm. 2008, the Sox were 15-8. That was one of the best Sox teams of my lifetime and doesn't really get talked about at all. 2019, I know you would mention this, the comps from this team to that team. The 2019 Red Sox started with the exact same record as this team, 9-14. So when I saw that, I was like, well, that sucks because I don't want this to be like the 2019 season. There is an extra playoff team now mm-hmm. that there wasn't then, so we're going to factor that in. But 2020, well, it didn't happen, but they were 6-17, but that year didn't count. And yeah, so far this year, once again, 9-14. So Justin, in the World Series years, they weren't close to this. I'll say that much. They weren't close to 9-14. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's not much there to draw from. I mean, something that kind of jumped out to me.
I mean, there is, and it's a very negative thing.
Yeah, I meant there's not much good to draw from there.
Right.
I think it's three of the last 4 years for the Red Sox, they've started 9-14 or worse. Which is just not ideal. So thanks, Justin, for that.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it. Yeah, the answer is no. When they start hot, they stay hot, and when they start cold, they stay cold. Thanks for your DM.
But they're going to mix it up this year. This comes in from Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I believe this is my boy, Brian.
What's up, my boy, Brian? Steve's boy, Brian?
Yeah, my boy, B-Rose. He says, slide in the DM question. Has Steve cursed Trevor Story into being homerless? The answer is yes. I am why Trevor Story hasn't had a home run and why he only really came close once, that ball in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So not predicting that anymore. I am not going to call any Trevor Story home runs. That is not a thing anymore.
I'd love to see him get one just for his emotion's sake, for his head's sake. He's getting pissed, man. He's getting exasperated. You can tell.
He is pissed off. He should be pissed off. I like that he's showing it. I mean, it's okay to be pissed right now. He's hitting, 217? Mm-hmm. Had a couple bad strikeouts this weekend, swinging at balls out of the strike zone, not even close. Just not the best start for Trevor Story. He'd be the first to tell you that, but it's going to get warmer, Joey. I heard that somewhere. This comes in from Josh. If you could make a rotation of all-time Red Sox out of only position players,
who
would make the list? I'll give you a little time here. All right. I didn't prep this one. We're going off the top of the dome here. So a Sox rotation out of position players. I'm going to have JBJ on there. Wait, do they have to be Red Sox legends? Is that what he means?
No, I don't know.
Oh, all time, I think, just means like in all time. In all of time. I don't think it means greatest ever. We're just going to say any position player and make the rotation out of that. Okay. I'll go JBJ. I will go Yoenis Cespedes. just because that would look hilarious. Who Cespedes would be on the list of like most forgotten that they ever played for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like a star. Well,
he's here for 11 minutes.
Yeah. And he had a tough exit there. But JBJ, Cespedes, sheesh. This is not as easy as I thought it would be. jeez. I'm gonna put Moreland in there because I love watching Mitchy pitch. That was fun. Yeah. I want to put a guy that's at least pitched. I'm obviously gonna put Brock Holt in there. Coming off that interview we just had, Brock throws gas 31 miles an hour. And lastly, because basically any list I make, I'm gonna have this guy on it. Noma. I'm having Noma on my list just because go Noma. Who do you got?
I mean, it's kind of dumb to not take Brock, right? I mean, he's a record setter.
Record-setting pitcher.
He's a record-setting pitcher whose final appearance was a scoreless, perfect performance. He had a perfect outing. I'm also going to go with this, the route of like who would look the strangest on a mound. I think big yoked Jose Canseco would be ridiculous looking on a mound.
That would be funny.
I would like to see. And I love watching like athletes do things that are athletic, but not in their like field of expertise. You know what I mean? Because he's like a big, like giant, obviously athletic guy. But I think watching him rear up for a pitch would be really awkward. So we're not going to win many games with my rotation, but that
I think he'd like rip his jersey pitching. Like I think he'd like rip out of it. Like there's just that's the kind of motion he's like never had to do. Like a throw the ball hard.
He also wore a very tight jersey. He wore like a skin tight. Yeah,
Canseco got the baby Gap jersey. Yeah, he was. I look back at it. I think we were. Were we doing this? I think we were looking up some posters that we had, and I had a Jose Canseco Red Sox poster growing up. And he's just like the most ripped person of all time. He's got to be the most obvious steroid guy ever. I know Maguire's in there, but like there's some, if you just type, you know, just look up Jose Canseco images, these are the fakest arms of all time. Like this guy was on all the juice and the funky juice. Hard F there.
The hard funky juice.
The early juice was weird. It made you look strange. Like it didn't like sneak the muscles in. They were very obviously fake.
I'm gonna go with I'm gonna round out my rotation with a series of guys that were all playing around the same time. I'm gonna go Darren Lewis.
Great. I was gonna do Darren Lewis. Hit it to the wrong guy.
Hit it to the wrong guy. Jose Offerman. And
you're sticking 90s. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. And to stay in that same vein and a little nod to ITM.
Mo?
No, I'm going to do Darren Bragg. Because.
Darren Bragg.
Because of what he means to this podcast.
He means so much to this show. If you know, you know. We'll leave it at that. And that was I like that list, Joe. I think we both had good lists. Nate, I think that's going to be the graphic, so you can get going on that one.
get to it.
Nate's been awesome, man. Huge shout out to Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Nate helps with the graphics, and he's just a great dude. Went to the
game
with
him. Worth a follow. He tweets some awesome graphics.
He's great on the Twitter. Yeah. Shout out, Nate. The last one here comes in from Kale. We're ending on a good note.
What up, Kale?
Love the pod, fellas, but let's think about this logistically.
Okay.
Logically. I said that wrong. Sox just got through spring training. Bats are going to heat up in May because, well, they can't get any colder than now. And pitching can only continue to get more solid. Glass half full, boys. Regular season starts Tuesday at Fenway. Go Sox. There you go, Kale.
Yeah, I
His
guess.
Name's Kale.
That's sick name. Sick name. I met a guy in college named Kai. And I was like, Kyle?
Okay.
And he's like, no, it's Kai. And I wasn't a fan, but I like Kale. So, I mean, I appreciate the optimism, man. I am there with you, kinda. I just need to see a little bit, and I'll be there, too.
I think, it helps that your big boppers are bopping, right? JD, got to stay in the lineup. I know he's hating missing time. but had a big game Sunday. Raffy's going to get cooking and already is hitting 300. Xander's hitting like 800. So your top guys are doing their thing for the most part. And, you know, you need the stories of the world and the Kikes of the world. And just go down the list, you know, the role guys to be holding their own more instead of hitting in the ones. Closing thoughts time, Joey, I'll kick it off here. This is weird. This is kind of like a high thought. I want a stat for the percentage of barreled balls that are hit on the laces that go out versus the percentage of barreled balls that are hit on the clean part of the ball that go out. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's a measurable statistic.
We have Fort Borp Zorp. We got X Wobicon. We got Fabalaba Dupe. We got every
Jamalama Ding Dongs.
We got Jamalama Doe. Like, yeah, there's all sorts of dumb with a capital D stats. You're telling me we can't get super slow-mo and see if the ball was hit off the laces or if it was hit on the ball? I was just holding the ball. I got a ball at the Trop. I'm collecting a baseball at, like, every place I go this year. Mm-hmm. And outside of Yankee Stadium. Gross. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I wonder if the ball goes out, if it's a home run more often, if you hit it on a clean part of the ball that doesn't have laces. You have to think yes, right?
I don't know. Is it even possible? Is it even possible to connect in a spot where, like, you wouldn't get any laces? I would imagine that the barrel of a bat is going to be... All right, we're doing some really scientific...
I got my MoVon baseball.
Right, don't go on Mo's face. Don't go on Mo's face.
It's from Burger King in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So we got a baseball here, right?
Yep, I'm seeing it.
This is Shea Hillenbrand's bat. Kind of a random connection here, but... Oh, absolutely.
This is ridiculous. Oh, there is. Yeah,
there is.
You're just banging a bat and a ball together, dude. What are we doing right now?
Look at this.
There's certainly enough clean space. You're totally right.
You can
right.
absolutely hit the ball on the clean part of the ball.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
And I think I would have to think that ball goes out more than Joey. Look at this. Hitting on the laces.
This is a great impression.
Which is rugged and not smooth.
Not smooth.
See? Steve, hit that versus the clean part.
You got to think it goes further on the clean. Yep. This is like a great bit of like the worst hitting coach of all time. Like telling his players, like, just hit it where the laces aren't. Hit it off the laces. Do you see how when they hit?
In the clubhouse to be like, clean part, hit. Hit.
It goes
hit clean.
Further.
Home run. Hit laces, no home run. I could be a hitting coach.
Why are you talking like that, dude? Why?
Just
no
to make it worse.
Run. Yeah, like,
make,
what is this guy?
Myself sound
Where's
dumber.
This guy?
being a hitting coach is like telling, dude, hit bombs, dude. Like,
why don't you just hit
don't strike, don't strike out. Hit a homer. Like what? So,
well, I think that's
your closing thought.
My closing thought was that it's time to turn it around, but also that the. I don't know if you noticed this, Steve. This is just a little thing that I wrote down from the broadcast. Camden Yards, their left field used to be a little closer last season.
Yeah.
And this year, it started this year actually, they moved it back and the wall is higher. It's like almost 6 feet higher in some places. So it's not, you're not going to get any cheap home runs in left field at Camden Yards anymore. You got to earn them.
Is the wall further back than it used to be?
Yeah, so they actually changed the dimensions of the field. They pushed it back a little bit. The wall's a little higher. So you got to really earn those home runs. Hey, let me tell you, if I was a right-handed hitter on the Orioles, I'd be like, what are you trying to do to me here, guys? Come on. You know?
So the wall is also higher than it used to be.
Well, yeah, because it's further back, too. So they pushed it back. They raised it up. And I just know if I was a right-handed hitter, I'd be thinking.
So Joey, let's say hypothetically you're Trey Mancini. You're probably a little pissed, right?
Let me tell you, if I was Trey Mancini, I would have marched right into that office, and I would say, "What are you trying to do to me?
Did you the field dimensions office?"
I would say, "Did you guys change the dimensions of the field?" And they would say, "Yes, we pushed them back, and they're high. It's higher, as high as
Imagine
6 feet
that's
higher
a
in
job.
Some places."
That's a job in the Orioles organization, field dimensions coordinator. And yeah, I'm the FTC for the Orioles. You're the what?
All days except one, he's had nothing to do.
He's had nothing to do.
One
but
day.
But, dude, the second the discussion started about the left field wall, his schedule was packed. They were like, he had to have a meetings with like the warning track guys. Yeah. He had to meet with the wall guys.
The wall paint, the measurer.
Yeah, the measure guy. He had to meet with the guy that paints the number, distance, and feet on the wall.
People think it's an
field
easy job.
Field dimensions coordinator for the Orioles had a busy week when they moved it back.
People think it's an easy job. Some people even think it's a made-up job. But you know what? It's not.
But it's not.
It's not either of those. It's a hard, real job. And what's the guy's name, Steve, who does the field dimensions coordinator at Oriole Park at Camden Yards?
Tellis? I think it's Tellis.
Is that his first name?
Yeah, Tellis McFluffer.
That is, yeah, so we're thinking of the same guy. Yeah, Tellis. Yeah. That's such a McFluffers. You had no confidence in that.
No, there's no S on the bat. It's Tellis McFluffer.
Tellis McFluffer.
He is the Baltimore Orioles field dimensions coordinator, and anyone out there that keeps on slandering his name enough, this guy works hard.
He does. Of course he does. Of course he does.
Of course he does. Of course he does. All right. My real closing thought here.
Yeah.
And this is, let me know if you can put some dramatic music under this. That would be great. And hop in if you want to. If you're out on the Red Sox right now, stay out. All right, everyone in the comments, Bloom sucks, this team's garbage, last year was an anomaly, Red Sox are awful, they always have. Stay out, all right? I don't want to see you coming around in July when the Vaude Lemmys are flowing and the times are great at Fenway and the ball's flying onto Lansdowne and the Mass Pike. I don't want to see you there. Stay out if you're out right now. Because it's going to get better, and when it gets better, Joey, we're going to be cooking. This show's going to be thriving. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're grinding, all right? Right now, it's been a grind. Team's tough. They're 9-14. When it comes back, again, late June, July 4th, when we're celebrating our country's independence, I don't want to see you there. If you're a bum right now that's like, this team stinks, season's over, yada yada, bing bong. I don't want to see you at Fenway Park when the times are going to be good/great this summer.
If you can't handle me at my 9-14, you don't deserve me at my...
In the hunt for a postseason spot.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for not holding me to a number. Yeah, man, I'm with you, and I think that there are certainly folks who are going to turn around, or they're going to be naysayers all year. I can see them doing that too, where Sox turn it around and they're like, oh, just wait.
They're not in first, they're in second. Blah, blah, blah. But again, if you're out now, stay out. You know, later. You can scout all the third string wide receivers on the Patriots. Like, do something else. All right, you can get into knitting. Do something else.
But I mean, still listen to the show.
Oh, yeah,
listen. To the show.
Honestly, just download it. Just get the download. Yeah, just subscribe, download, unsubscribe, resubscribe. And then
that'd be great.
Don't go to Fenway because you stink. So anyway, I just...
Thanks for listening.
If you're out, stay out. That's all I got to say. Joey, that'll do it. That was episode 10 of Inside the Monster. We got some interviews coming up for you guys. We got fun times around the corner. The bats are going to heat up. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani in the building this week at Fenway Park. Slight chance of rain for the first couple, but ooh, that Thursday afternoon game is going to be nice. And we're very close to another AM baseball game on Sunday, which is pretty crazy. Until next time, I'm Steve Peralt. That's Joey Capone. Go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralt. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.